So this morning, as we're looking at perhaps, I think this is the final message on our series on fellowship with the divine, and it's been a journey. And sometimes we hear about the who the Holy Spirit is and the work of the Holy Spirit, and I've taken a slightly different angle. Ellen Parfitt and a church in Nelspruit, South Africa, church it's called Unlimited. They did a series on fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and I've just called it fellowship with the divine. And we've taken some thoughts from there. And also Nigel Day-Lewis has done a series on the Holy Spirit that I've also taken a few thoughts from, and the odd illustration from both of those guys. But we see the encouragement in the book of Ephesians. Do not be drunk on wine. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's an invitation. Be filled with the Spirit. And you see, people say, well, why? Why be continuously filled? Why? Because we leak. And in life's passage, things happen, and power can go out from us. If you remember, Jesus was praying. He says, power's gone out for you. He's prayed for somebody, and he felt the power leave him. So there's a reason why the Lord says, be continually filled with the Spirit. In the words of Terry Virgo, we need to become serious drinkers. And the point of being filled is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to ask how many of you have been intoxicated, because that could be revealing. But an intoxicated person...
No comment.
You're under the influence or under the control of a substance. Alcohol. What does it do? Well, for some, it gives Dutch courage. For some, they do outrageous things that they're embarrassed about. They lose their inhibitions. And for others, they perhaps become roaring drunk, loud and demonstrative. Now, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be changed. If you're the same, it says, don't be, these people are just drunk with wine. I mean, at 9 o'clock in the morning, they just had too much to drink. That's what they thought. On Pentecost, what are these guys? They just had too much to drink. They're not quite at the hangover stage, but they're still in the intoxicated stage. 9 o'clock in the morning, and they speaking in different tongues and loud possibly, and maybe they were swaying a bit. Maybe there was some manifestation on them that they looked drunk. That's what the accusation was on Pentecost Sunday. These people, there's something different. Friends, people look at us. There should be something different. There should be something different about us. That this, wow, this person, they were like, now they've got a new boldness. I wasn't a public speaker. I wasn't a leader in school by any stretch of the imagination. Even in the military, I didn't take any rank in the military. We had to do military service. But when the Holy Spirit came on me, I never thought I would lead a church, friends. But that's God. God will take us and empower us to do things we never thought we'd do. And share stories we never thought we'd share, even with our family and friends. And our story, the story of no change, no Jesus. That's what it boils down to. And if we've got some story of how he's changed us, then God calls us to share that. And so I think our cry should be one of surrender to the Holy Spirit. Come and take over my life. That's what our cry should be, because there's a boldness that comes with being filled with the Spirit. And one of the great high callings that Jesus has brought us into is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so this verse from Galatians 5:16, I walk by the Spirit, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So there's two roads here, there's two alternatives. And you don't need training to gratify the desires of the flesh. No, you don't need training for that. You don't need any help in that direction. It's like your body is just going that way to gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh is something that we've got to crucify, the Bible says. We've got to put to death. And so if you think of a car illustration, and how many of you are nervous passengers? Doesn't say much of my driving, does it? But she went on the motorbike with me this week. Woohoo! So the problem with a driver is that when they get out the driver's seat and they're used to having the wheel and the accelerator and the brake, they're just like, oops. And that's why driving schools actually have the brake and they have, I think, the clutch. They have everything except the driving school. They could grab that. The problem is when we give over the wheel of our lives and we get in the passenger seat, we want to hold the steering wheel with one hand and we want to have the other hand on the handbrake to pull it up. You know what I'm saying? That's just lives. Our lives are always wrestling God because, God, can I fully trust you with the reins of my life? Can I allow you to have control and take me on a path and a direction that possibly that feels a little bit unnerving or a little bit, I feel a little bit insecure. God, if I really gave over and yielded and surrendered, God, where would you take me? What would you ask of me? And yet God is a good God and we can trust that his will is good. His purposes are good. His hopes for you are good. And so it's just, God, I want to trust you more and more. Don't want to be a backseat driver or a passenger seat driver. And then it goes on to, I suppose we become Siri the sat-nav. That's what I wrote. You know, we become Siri the sat-nav. You know, God, fine, you be Lord of my life, but let me be the sat-nav. reroute. Yeah, well, you turn. So when was the last time you sought God to lead you? And I think a prayerless life speaks of a life that's not dependent on God. It speaks of, actually, God, I can do this pretty much. You know, but prayer speaks of dependency on God. And so it goes on to say, if we live by the Spirit, we'll also walk by the Spirit. That's the scripture we've put on the board today. So by implication, it will affect our direction, our pace, and our level of cooperation with the Holy Spirit. So walk means a lifestyle, not events. And Tony spoke about this some weeks ago. I encourage you to listen to that message if you missed it. Because life's a journey, friends. It's not a destination. If it was a destination and I know that I'm secure in my salvation and I'm going to heaven, then just do me a favor, put a gun to my head and send me there. Because why waste time? Yeah, it's far better to be absent from the body as to be with the Lord. And that's better by far. I'd rather be with the Lord. Paul says that. I'd rather. But Lord said to him, no, I've still got a work for you to do. That's why you're here. And so by implication, there's two things. A lifestyle that acknowledges his presence by his equipping. And so I think there's an awareness that God wants, and that leads to a dependency. So this is an illustration. My wife said, oh, they look a bit mangy, and these flowers. But they've lasted. They've lasted well. And friends, if you wanted to attract butterflies, what would you do? You would cultivate a garden, friends. You would till the soil. You would turn over the soil. You would make it attractive for the flowers first. I think butterflies are attracted to flowers. But you would create a garden and you would tend that garden and you would nurture it. You would prune it. You would do whatever it takes to try, because you love butterflies. And I wonder if you can put up those pictures of those butterflies. There are some incredible butterflies in this world, friend. Some beautiful, I mean, that's a transparent butterfly. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You just think, wow. You see, we can't earn the Holy Spirit, but the illustration here is to attract the Holy Spirit. We've got to create the right environment, an environment in our lives that's attractive to the Spirit of God, a lifestyle that's attractive to the presence of God. That's my first point this morning. You see, there'll be a greater likelihood if we tend the garden of our lives and our hearts, it will determine the outer world of activity. Does that make sense? You tend the garden, the secret garden of your heart, and the outer world of activity will be determined. It will be a place of habitation. It will be a place of the presence of God. It will be a place where God is at work. So I don't know if you have that cry of your heart, Lord, I want a lifestyle that's attractive to you and draws you into my life and into my life more and more and more. But friends, there's some negatives too. And I'm going to mention a few of them with regards to the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Something in my behavior can be offensive. But you see, I can also delight him. I can also create a garden. I can also tend a garden. But I can also grieve the Holy Spirit. So I suppose the question is, what's attractive to the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit come to do? What does he delight in? What kind of things does he delight in? And in John 14, or John 16, actually a number of chapters in the book of John speak about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was preparing his disciples, for a lifestyle with the Holy Spirit, of walking with the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Holy Spirit will glorify me." You see, the greatest thing I can plant in my life is a lifestyle that glorifies Jesus Christ. Did you get that? A lifestyle that glorifies Jesus. That's the greatest thing I can plant in my life. The flowers. Back to the garden. It will show up in our conduct. And that's why it says, keep your conduct amongst the Gentiles honorable, so that when they see you, they'll praise the Father in heaven. So when the Gentiles, when the unbeliever looks at you, will they give glory and give honor and let your good works go ahead of you, because then they'll give praise to the Father? You know, people will say, wow. And I think the church has been recognized in this nation. They said, actually, that the church's charitable works in this nation underpin this nation. I think the parliamentarians have even said that. They've even given credit where credit's due. They said the church, without the church and their work into all sorts of avenues, friends, where would the people of this nation be? So, yeah. So to glorify Christ means I need to be Christ-like. Now, friends, I need to tell you that we're all on a journey here. When I was buying the motorbike, and I'll give you a testimony about the motorbike. Some of you may have seen it. I posted it on Facebook. But there was a picture that I posted. And the story behind it was, before we came to this nation, God gave both BB and I, independently of each other, a scripture from Isaiah. I'll give you hidden treasures in secret places, that you will know that I'm the Lord God of Israel, who summons you by name. So when we arrived here, by miracle of miracles, there was a car that was waiting for us. That was a gift. A car that was like, wow. To us, it's a tool for a task. It's, you know, simply transport to do what you need to do. So I wanted to pray that God would help us with that and just steward that well. And then the next treasure that's come our way has been this little motorbike. Well, motorbike that was in Manchester, a place called Bury. Do you say Bury or Bury? But it was buried treasure in Bury. So friends, the flip side of this testimony is that you have to insure things in this country. And so it gives you stipulations. Do you want to insure it as a domestic use, social use, pleasure? So I kind of think, oh, I'm going to visit my son in York. That's social pleasure. You know, I'm going to see him. I'm going to do some visiting of friends in the church and folk congregation. But then it says business mileage. So I think, well, is it going to be business mileage? And then you're arguing the case. Is it business mileage? Is it not business mileage? And then I think, well, I'm doing a little bit of invigilating. That's going to be business mileage. I'm probably going to use the... So eventually, I need to tell them, actually, I'm not going to just use it for domestic and social, and my premium goes up. Friends, those are the things I'm talking about. All of us face that. All of us face that. It wasn't an easy thing, because you think, well, I could get it cheaper, you know. But actually, we've got to do the right thing, friends. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He speaks to us about issues that are, I think, issues of righteousness and integrity. And it's not what we can get away with, because the Holy Spirit sees all things and He knows all things. And we've got to live in the light as He is in the light. And then we have fellowship with Him, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. But if we try and find a shortcut, friends, we're going to be exposed. And people will say, it's just the same as me. That guy's just the same as us. There's no difference. And so I want to challenge us this morning. Let's not grieve the Spirit of God. I suppose our lives to be an open window. When you think about the sun, you can experience something of the warmth, the light of the sun. Our lives are to be an open window, to shine for Christ. It's more about reflection than perfection. Does that make sense? It's more about us reflecting Him than being perfect. So don't focus on the perfection. Oh, I'm disqualified. I'm a puffy, stinking Christian. No, focus on, actually, I look at Christ. I look at Him, and then I'll be transformed into being more and more like Him. You know, Moses had a fading glory, but how much more us with the Spirit of God being unveiled and to shine for him. Moses had that veil that he had to put because the glory was fading. I pray your glory is not fading. I pray your glory is getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and that you've got more and more glory stories. That's captivated my heart, this thing about glory stories. And then the second point that I'm going to make this morning is a lifestyle that acknowledges the Holy Spirit. A lifestyle that acknowledges the Holy Spirit. You see, in the book of Acts, we see in Acts 5, we see a couple who kept back part of the offering. Now, they had the freedom to give whatever they felt to give, but they actually made it out that they'd given the whole amount of the property they'd sold. And so Peter speaks, and he says, Ananias, there was Ananias and Sapphira, and Ananias came in first, and they said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God." You see, Peter, in saying this, there was an honor and an acknowledgement of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He was acknowledging the Holy Spirit. So you've lied to the Holy Spirit in your actions, in your conduct. And then there was the fruit of that. The great fear came upon the whole church, such that people held the church in a high regard. And it goes on to say, in terms of holding the church in a great fear came upon the whole church, a reverence and an awe and a respect. People became more aware, His Holy Spirit, friends, dwelling in us. How I behave and how you behave affect the Holy Spirit. So I want to delight Him. I want to grieve Him. And I acknowledge my behavior can negatively affect my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you see, Israel rebelled against God and they grieved the Spirit of God. And in that context in Ephesians, it was really a low value of brothers and sisters in Christ by grieving the Spirit of God. So how do you hold your other brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you hold them in high regard? Do you speak well of them? Because that can grieve the Spirit. If we speak against others, brothers in Christ, other sisters in Christ. And that comes out of, I suppose, a wrong understanding and thinking I can lie to the Holy Spirit and He won't mind. Slander other people and He won't mind. And then, friends, the other negative is that we can resist the Holy Spirit. And the challenge here is, can He circumcise your heart and your ears? Because you're speaking, the scripture here is out of 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Resist the Spirit. I've got two scriptures ahead. Acts 7 verse 51, where we can resist the Holy Spirit, saying you always harden your hearts against Him and in terms of an uncircumcised heart and ear. And then the next is resist the Spirit. And following on that, quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. You know, quench, if you've got a fire, you just kind of douse it with water. And the Holy Spirit is a refiner's fire, purging and a cleansing fire that stirs us up and brings us to the boil. That's the picture. The Holy Spirit is there to stir us up and bring us to the boil. And friends, I hadn't ever kind of remembered this one, but we can insult or outrage the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10 verse 29. You see, He brings us to repentance and it's a fearful thing, it goes on to say in Hebrews, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's if we shun Him or disregard Him. And then the final point this morning is seek His counsel and direction in your decisions and in my decisions. The early church in the book of Acts, they at some point, they felt they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. They were forbidden. I mean, wow. Has anyone experienced that here? You're forbidden to speak. I mean, the Bible also says don't cast your pearl before swine. So sometimes God doesn't want you to necessarily speak to a particular individual who's not going to take he's going to trample that word underfoot. But for the most part, God says go and speak. But in this case, they were prevented by the Holy Spirit. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into the province of Asia. It said the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And then the final scripture this morning is from Romans 8, verse 4 and 5. Let us live and walk in accord with the Spirit, as we set our mind and on the things of the Spirit, which is life and peace. Friends, that means harmony. That means agreement. And then it goes on in James, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go and do this or that or such, and go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Friends, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? If you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes, instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will go here and go there and do this and do that. So there's the message this morning is a lifestyle that honors the Holy Spirit. That's not event-based. That's not Sunday service. Oh, well, I come in and I sing and I worship and I give to the Lord. And friends, that's not about Sunday. It's more about Monday. What I'm sharing is more about Monday. What happens if God thought Monday was more important than Sunday? Because that's where we live out our faith. That's where we're real. That's where it happens, friends. That's what, you know, what are we watching? Who are we speaking to? What are we posting? What are we talking about? What are we sharing? What are we celebrating? It all reveals our lives before God. And so there's a partnership here with the Holy Spirit. And I suppose our life garden of the heart that is tended and pruned and that's going to be fragrant and fruitful. That's what God's looking for, a fragrance, a fruitfulness, a beauty. And that's allowing the Holy Spirit access to our hearts, a tender heart, an open heart. Being available. And friends, we're going to watch a testimony. It's a 10-minute testimony. It's only 25 past 11. We've got time for this and some ministry on the back of that. And hopefully there will be opportunity to go and break bread and just really come before the Lord and give thanks. But this particular testimony is from a revival called the Pensacola Revival in Brownsville. It's over 20 years old. The lady's name is Allison Ward. He introduces her, John Kilpatrick, the pastor in that church, and then at the end, an evangelist who God used for a number of years there comes in to speak. His name's Steve Hill. And they saw hundreds of thousands of people respond to the gospel, hundreds of thousands. Friends, it was a modern-day move of God. And she experienced something of God. It's like God almost speaks to through her in the first person. There comes a point where it's like God starts to speak. This is God speaking more than this girl saying what she's saying. And so I encourage you, let's watch it together and just let your heart be rent and let's respond. Friends, at the end of that testimony, you'll see people responding. And if you need to, by way of response, I'm going to invite you to stand at the end of that testimony and cry out to God with whatever you, if you need to come forward and kneel, you're welcome to do that. If you want to just stand and you just need to say, God, I want to allow you to circumcise my heart again. I want you to have access to my heart again. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to go out the same way that I came in. I want to be changed. And I want you more, Holy Spirit. I want to be red hot. I want to be on fire for you. And friends, I'm going to leave this illustration up front here. We had a barbecue. Friends, I never thought this is a standard barbecue. You can buy this barbecue for just so much. £2. But I wanted to get this fire going. So I got a hairdryer. And it was a hairdryer that Donna blessed Bibi, or I think Abigail with. And man, this thing's powerful. It melted this thing. It melted the aluminium. This fire, friends, God has got more. The intensity of this fire melted the aluminium. I don't know what it did to the meat. But that's what God's saying, friends. Let the fire fall. Let the wind blow. Let the glory come down. When the fire falls and the wind blows, friends, we will melt. Our hearts will melt. I want to almost frame this and put it in the church. Piece of art, piece of prophetic art, speaking to us as a church. Let us be on fire. Let us, our hearts be on fire. Thanks.
Folks, when you see someone like this and you just make a snap judgment and you see someone doing something like this, you may say, oh man, you know, what's going on? But I want to tell you, this girl, She's a brilliant girl. Her mother's a school teacher. Her father's a doctor, medical doctor. And these girls have been raised in Brownsville Assembly. I know their life, and they're godly girls. But God, during this revival, has gotten a hold of them. And her sister is Elizabeth, that's given her testimony on television and here on Friday night in the church. And this is Allison. And God uses her when it comes time for the altar call and things like that. He uses her in intercession. And you'll see her back there really under the power of the Holy Spirit beginning to intercede for lost souls. And she's never done anything like this. I've known her for many years. I've known these girls since they were little bitty girls. I mean, like this, I've known them. I've been their pastor. I know beyond any doubt whatsoever that these girls are being moved on by God's Spirit. And Allison, if you can, sweetheart, I want you to take just a moment and just share what the Lord's doing in your life and what's going on.
I'm 19 years old, and I've been through high school, and I'm in college now. And at the beginning of this revival, I didn't come for the first week. I was like everyone else. I wasn't so sure about it. And church had always been kind of just a requirement anyway. So it was the second Sunday of this revival that I came to the night service. And Steve preached on, I have a verse for it. It's in Matthew 6, 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And what Steve preached about that night was, you cannot hold on to the hand of God and onto the hand of the world at the same time. And all through high school and college, I've known God. Well, God has had a place in my heart, but he didn't really have a place in my life. And I never thought that God had anything to offer other than just sitting at church, and I'd never given him a chance to do anything in my life. So I was constantly running after the world. I was running after what I thought I had to have something that the world would give me. But whenever I heard that, what Steve preached, my eyes were opened. Like Steve preached last night, Satan, he blinds us. And I was blinded by worldly things that I thought I had to have, and worldly friends that I thought I had to have. And all it took to totally change my life was for me to listen and really hear what these people, these men of God, are trying to say, what God is trying to say. You know, the Bible says people, they have ears to hear, but they don't hear what people are trying to say and what God is trying to say to them. And I listened that night, and God totally opened my eyes. He changed my whole life. I was terribly depressed because I had enough of God in me to know what I was doing was wrong and to be miserable doing it. And I was in the most horrible position you can be in. God says himself, he'd rather spit you out of his mouth than have you be lukewarm, because you're no good to anybody unless you're hot or cold. So I'm hot now. all of that happened to me the first week of the revival. And like they say, you don't have to search after the manifestation. The manifestation is on me now, but it wasn't for a long time. I came to lots of meetings, and I got prayed for, and I never felt anything physically happen, but my whole life was transformed. And now God has given me the gift of intercession, and He's allowed me to feel, the Holy Spirit has allowed me to feel just part of the pain that He feels whenever people don't listen to Him. I've realized that the Holy Spirit, He's here. He's waiting on all of us just to a tiny bit of our heart to want Him. He'll come in and change your whole life. He'll change everything.
Yes, He will.
Everything.
Whenever this is on you, Allison, you don't have pain, do you?
No, it's not painful at all.
You know, seriously, whenever someone sees someone like this, that's manifesting the Spirit of the Lord, they think they're under pain or they're under duress. But it's not like that at all. Tell them what it's like.
Well, there's two different kinds with me. Like right now, I think the glory of God is so strong up here, my body just can't really take it. And that's why I'm doing this. But there's other times whenever I come into God's presence and I don't move at all, but inside me it's like there's just waves of God inside of me. Right. And then there's other times whenever I'm interceding and it's not painful to my body, but it's painful to my heart because I know that God loves people so much and he's in a hurry. He wants everyone. There's not much more time. He aches and he grieves for your spirit. He grieves for you.
To it or take away from it. If you're in this building tonight and you're away from God, there's sin in your life and you know it, you need to come back to Jesus. I want you to get up from where you're at and come to these altars right now. Don't wait on anybody else. Get up and come. You need to run to Jesus right now. Get up and come right now. Get up and come right now. You're away from the Lord. I want you to come right now. Get up right now. Up in the balcony. You need Jesus to forgive you, to wash you, to cleanse you. You're spiritually dead. Get up and come right now to the altar. Get up and come right now. Get up and come. This is a message tonight. This preacher is not going to preach. This was a message tonight. This rarely happens, friends, and we're obeying God. We are obeying God tonight. Get up and come. You're away from God. Get up and come right now.
Friends, if you need to respond in any measure, I just encourage you to stand.
What do you want God to do?
Let's have a moment with God.
Let's allow Him to search our hearts.
And
the Lord's trying to get a hold of you. Yeah, get up and come right
yield
now.
To him.
I need Jesus to wash me. I need Jesus to cleanse me. I need Jesus.
Consecrate yourself. Be available to Him. Maybe together we can stand. And then we're going to have an opportunity to break bread together. But He's searching our hearts, and He's wanting to access our hearts. If you find yourself in a lukewarm state, like she was testifying, if you find yourself in a compromised state, when you find yourself that actually church is just something you do, you pitch up here on a Sunday, and it's not really, if others didn't give you a lift, or it's just something you do. Friends, that's not a heart that's actually, I want to meet with God. I want to be where God, with God's people. I want to be where God is. I want to be able to hear and respond to what God is saying and doing. So let's respond to God, friends.